Glory to God. We don't talk about what we're going to preach on and that when they pick their songs, but that song pretty much leads right into what I want to talk about tonight, what I feel like the Lord wants us to talk about. And I'm going to pop this up here real quick. Everybody doing all right tonight? Glory to God. If you're not, what's wrong with you? Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever, is He not? You know, so much of the Christian life is understanding who we are because of Jesus. And we talk about and we sing about our freedom and our victory and different things of that sort. But if our foundation is not based upon those truths of what and of our identification with Christ, then it's easy to get blown off the foundation with every wind of doctrine and different things that come along. And, you know, you get, if you're not careful, it's easy. I mean, it's easy for people that've been, you know, Christians for a long time. If you're not careful, because you can let these things slip. Any of you had a home long enough, your foundation starts to erode a little bit? What do you got? You got to repair it. You got to make sure and go back. Peter made a statement, said, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. And I don't know why, but it just seems like here that every time I stand in this pulpit here recently, and also Brother Bill would tell you, it's such an honor to stand up here, to stand in the pulpit that really belongs to Pastor Hagin, and to stand here and to be trusted to stand here is more than I ever could have asked or thought in my life. Grew up in a little town, about 5,000, 10,000 people, you know, 10,000 now, I don't know if it was then, back then, but there in Central Illinois, and just glory to God. Just to be here is an incredible thing. But knowing who we are, and if you're not careful, if you let your foundation start to erode about knowing who you are in Christ, it's easy to get blown off of that foundation and your house start to have trouble, even from not just necessarily, sometimes it doesn't seem like spiritual things. Sometimes, you know, we're quick to jump on those things, but just different things in life, you know, you read the newspaper, you see a news report, you hear something, you know, going on that this happened and that happened. And how many of you know out in the world, everything is happening. And it's not that we become, have a deaf ear or a blind eye to those things. We have the answer to those things that are happening out there. But if I'm not careful, if my foundation is different than who I am in Christ and what I have because of that, then I start to try to find natural answers and natural things, and I start identifying with the wrong things. Amen. I mentioned before in talking about these things, whatever you identify with will either free you or bind you. Whatever you identify with. Now, the more I identify with my natural self, how many of you know the more I'm limited and bound? Okay? You know this natural body, this one here that you got right now, the one you got right now, it's not going to live forever. And it's a limiting factor in our lives. It limits us. Okay? Thank God someday we'll have an unlimited body, but we don't have that yet. But yet we talk in the spirit, our spirit, man, is unlimited. Right? We're in union with Christ, and we sense that unlimitedness in us, but yet we're limited. And so the more I identify and take up this cause and take up that cause outside of the cause of Christ and try to find answers and do things. Now, there's nothing wrong with, I'm not talking about not helping people and doing all those things. It's like Pastor Craig kept saying this morning, don't try this at home. You know, he kept giving examples of things that are, you know, that you wouldn't want to do. But I'm talking, you know, these are things that I found with me. You know, if and Amanda will tell you, boy, this last year, I had to watch myself. And there were just times, you know, the Holy Spirit and my wife would tell me, boy, you're getting all upset. What's wrong with you? You know, and I had to check myself. Because, you know, this is coming and that's coming. And, you know, something on the inside's digging at me. Something's not, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, really, all I really need to do is pray about it. Spend time praying. So I said all that to kind of start here in Ephesians chapter 2. And I saw something here. I believe Brother Bill was preaching would that have been the last Sunday night, Pastor Bill? Yeah, last Sunday night, preaching, and he said something, and then got me to thinking about something, and I had never really looked at it. I want to show you tonight. Now, if you're in Ephesians class or whatever, I think I told you about this. But anyway, if you're not, that's all right. Okay? Verse 1. And you, everybody say me. He says, has he quickened, which means to make alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. No, he has made you alive who were dead. So we're not dead any longer. See, this book's written to the saints and the faithful, or the whole Bible's written to us, but it's written to us who are in Christ. And he's saying, you were dead, but now you're not any longer. In times past. When? Past, right? So it should not be true concerning us today, but he's setting up of what we were and what God did for us. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Well, he's talking there about the devil. And that same spirit, whether they realize it or not, that same spirit's at work in the world. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past. Now, how do we used to live? In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let's sum it up in the movement of the 60s. When I say 1960, some of you are like, boy, that's the ancient times. How many of you lived through the 60s? Out of that came what statement, what phrase? If it feels good, do it. That's how we used to live. He said, in the lust of your flesh, the desires of your flesh and of your mind. We used to live that way. And when you live that way, you're controlled by the spirit of the power of the air. You're a child of disobedience. Now, that's your nature. So we can't get too upset about folks like that. But Christians shouldn't be living that way. And then my favorite phrase, and I think in the entire Bible, in verse 4, but God. I love that phrase. I mean, it doesn't matter what you say before that. If you can get to but God and then say what God said after it, you're going to come out on top. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has, and this is past tense again, and he restates what he said in verse 1, has quickened us, but notice this, together with Christ. I want you to notice that word together. I'm going to talk about that tonight. With Christ, by grace, you are saved. And has raised us up together. There's that another together. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now we're going to come back here, but let's go to Romans chapter 6. I want us to look, we're looking for this word together here. Because this is what the Lord has shown me here recently. And you know what's interesting? I was just thinking, I hadn't thought of it, but this year, this term, in fact, this is the 20th year I've taught the book of Ephesians here at Raymond Bible Training College. 20 years. And taught it before that. So, I mean, I've been teaching this for a long time and studying it and just saw something new. Amen. Boy, don't ever quit being a learner. There's more of God. I said, well, I know all about God. Oh, yeah, did he turn this way yet? Did you see that part of God? Oh, did he do this yet? Amen. I mean, just as soon as I think I got God figured out, I was like, you know, like, that's more than I could ever ask or think. All right, Romans 6, verse 1 through 5 here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, sin there is the sin nature. We've talked about that. All that sin is and all that sin has produced in the earth, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, separation from God and eternal death, all of that, it says that we were, how shall we that are dead to sin or separated from the sin nature live any longer therein? Know you not That so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Now, we use this and talk about water baptism, and it is a water baptism is a type of being, but he's literally talking about we were placed fully into Christ. Full immersion, that's what baptism means, to be fully immersed into. So we were fully immersed into Jesus Christ and fully immersed into his death. Listen, when Jesus went to the cross, you went to the cross. Amen. When they put nails in his hand, they put them in yours. When that spear went in his side, it went into yours. Amen. When he died, you died. But thank God he didn't stay dead. See, it's what identification is all about. Therefore, verse 4 says, we are buried with him by baptism in his death. So when he went to the cross, we went to the cross. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now here we go. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in his resurrection. Planted together. Now one more place, Colossians chapter 2, please. So in Ephesians says we were made alive together, we were raised together, we were seated together. In Romans he said we were planted together in his death, and we shall also be planted together. We are together with him in life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, everybody say me. He's talking to you. Don't make this be somebody else. This is talking to you and me. Being dead in your sins, that's who we were, remember? And the uncircumcision of our flesh, we were not a part of Judaism. Now, some of you might have been, but we weren't part of that before that. And so we were alienated from God, the covenants of promise separated from them. He says, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses? Quickened together. And so I was home. This was after Bill Priest, and then it was during that week. I was home. I was eating, and I remember I was having chicken. Man had made chicken, Brussels sprouts, and sweet potatoes. And that's it for tonight. Let's go eat. No. But that's what I was eating. I'm sitting there, and I got my Bible open. I'm looking at this, and I've got this, you know, I got all these different programs. I can look up words, and I'm looking up the word together, and there in Ephesians chapter 2, for instance, every one of those words together is a different word because it's tied to what it goes with. Made alive together, well, that's one word. Raised up together, that's a different word. Made us sit together, that's a different word. So together went with what it was. And I'm trying to, you know, and I'm looking up the word in the dictionary, you know. It means, you know, I always love this. Together means to do things together. Thank you. I could have written that dictionary, right? But so I'm looking at this, and I can't. I'm really, really struggling here because I know there's something to this. I know there's more to this than just us being. Let's see, there it is. Us being together with him. But I want you also to notice this. This follows there in chapter 1. He talked about he wants us to know. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we might know. And the third thing he says, what is the greatness, exceeding greatness of his power, which he demonstrated or which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now here's something we don't think about. Before God raised him up, he made him alive. He brought him to life. Now what kind of life? Spiritual life. Because he became separated from God for us. See, without spiritual life, you can't have physical life. So he made him alive, we were made alive. He raised him up, and Paul wants to see, what's that power? What's that resurrection power to us who believe? And then he seated him. So again, in identification, Jesus fully identified with us. And I like what there in 2 Corinthians 5, and just thinking about this, says that God was in Christ, not imputing our trespasses unto us. See, God was in much in union with the Son. The Father was in much as union with the Son as we are to be with the Son. God was in Christ doing something, and we have got something because we're in Christ. And He's in us. See, Jesus is the only one that ever was a single, He's the only one that was ever a single representative in a covenant. He fully represented God, and He fully represented man. He never stopped being the Son of God, right? He laid that aside in ministry, but He became the Son of Man. So he was 100% man and 100% God. So I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. It's just true. But once you realize that God was in Him. Now listen, when you study what happened at the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, you understand this, that God did more and did it. What happened, God put on Him our sin nature. The devil did not do it, did not make Jesus sin. God made Him to be sin for us. God did it for us, for you and I. And so I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about I'm identified with Him. Thank God, you know, I've got an arrow written there for when He raised Him, He raised me. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, Bishop G. Patterson's, "I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me." You know, I'm thinking all that, you know, and you can say, "I'm so glad that the Lord raised me." I mean, you can guess, whoa. "If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. He saved me." Come on, I don't have no help in here. No help. See, you all thought I was clapping on the wrong beat too. I had the right beat. No help. But anyway, I'm thinking of all that, and all of a sudden I'm sitting there, and I haven't had this happen all that often in my life, but it was almost as if someone, I'm alone sitting at the dining room table there. Amanda, she was at Regal's, I think, or something. Anyway, or in another room. I don't know who was there, just put it that way. She wasn't in the room. I heard this. It was so loud, but I thought someone said it. And when they said it, I literally shook. I began to shake. And they said this. This is what they said. It was said to me. "If it's together, it's impossible for it to happen to one and not the other. That's why we are joint heirs with Christ. We're together." God's plan was that we would be together with Him. And so when He died, we died. Because we couldn't be together if it didn't happen to the same. Right? Amen. So if I told Don, "Come on, let's go. Come up here, Don. Let's go together in the back room." We'd have to both go. We'd have to both go. I could say it. I could go and he stay there. We're not together. Together means it's impossible for it to happen to the one and not for the other. When Jesus died, we died. But when He was made alive, we were made alive. When God raised Him up, He raised us up. When God seated Him at the right hand of God in that place of authority, He seated us there. And we are now joint heirs with Jesus. We are now citizens of heaven. Every one of us, our names written in heaven that we are citizens. And we have all the rights of heaven that Jesus has. And we are now to minister on this earth. The Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, Pastor Craig talked this morning about we're not waiting. We're not on the verge. It's revival. We're lit. All right? I don't know if you weren't here this morning, you'd get a hold of that. But all I'm going to tell you is get lit. That's what he said. Some of you got to come back. "No, wait. Well, I've been lit before, brother." No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting on fire. We're not waiting. Let's quit. Listen. Let's stop talking about revival. Let's just have it. Let's have revival. Amen. And let it begin at the house of God. Let it start with us. Let us get revived. You ever thought about it? You can't revive what hasn't been vived. Revival literally means to make alive again, to infuse with life. Let's get alive, glory to God. And let's take this life out to a lost and dying world that needs to hear about Jesus. But we got to know who we are. We've got to know that the same things that belong to Jesus belong to us. Now, can you, in your wildest imaginations, can you ever imagine Jesus being sick right now? But we are joint heirs with him. We're together with him. And he can't have health without us having health. He can't, the Bible says our needs are met in according to his riches in glory by Christ. He's got the glorious riches. It's impossible for us to be together and us not have riches also. Now, what do I mean by riches? Fully supplied. Just fully supplied. That can mean something that's something different for everybody. Quit trying to I'll know I'm really prosperous if I have this much money, or if I drive that kind of car, or if I live in this kind of house. What does that have to do with it? Amen? No, you're full. You know you're rich when you're helping feed those that are hungry. You know you are rich when you're helping send the gospel message around the world. You know you are rich. Amen. That's when you know you're rich. When it's not about you, it's about others. Hallelujah. So together, it's impossible. So now, in thinking about that, all that Jesus, see, eternal life, that's another thing. You can't imagine Jesus not living forever. Well, if we're together with him, then we're going to live forever. Right? Amen. So when we look at our identification and our togetherness, if you want to call it that way, there are now, therefore, no impossibilities to us. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is impossible with him. Therefore, there's nothing impossible with us. Amen. Now, I thank God. I thank God for the men and women who've gone before us and whom God has used in different ways and different things of that sort. But there's going to be those men and women still. But there's going to be a body, the church itself, going forth. The church going forth with healing in its hands. With signs, wonders, and miracles done by the hands of the church. Not the preacher alone, but by the church. But in order for us to do that, we've got to know what we have. And we've got to walk in that. So if we have an inheritance together with him, and all these things are true, and we are joint heirs with Christ. I might have said joint heirs together with Christ. It would have made my sermon better. But it doesn't say together. It says joint heirs with Christ. That's all right. That means the same thing. If we have the same inheritance he does, then I want you to think of this. John 10:10 says, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. How many of you believe that Jesus did what he came to do? That he provided a way for us to have that life. I like what one translation says, have that life and that life more abundantly. It says super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. Another translation says life the way God has and lives it. Together with Christ. We're to live that way. And that life is in us. That very life is in us. So, I don't know if you've ever thought about this concerning a thief. If you don't have something, a thief can't steal it from you. It has to be your possession before somebody can come steal it from you. Amen? So what the devil's trying to do, see, that puts it in a total different way of thinking, because I think a lot of times we've thought, well, now, you know, here, you know, I'm trying to get healed, when the Bible never uses that terminology. It never says anybody try to get healed. It says we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. So these symptoms, and we're not denying, the faith is not denial. I'm not denying the symptoms. I'm just not giving them the right to exist in me. Because why? I'm the healed. So evidently, Satan's trying to steal what belongs to me. Amen. Now, this works in all kinds of these areas. That's why it's so important that we go through the Word of God and get that little book by Brother Hagin, the ministry's put out, the In Him Realities. Go through those 130-some scriptures, write them out, and say, some of them are just in Him, but some of them are very specific and tell us what belongs to us because we're in Christ. But it seems like the area of healing and finances are two big areas. And in today, in the society we live in today, not just those areas, but knowing who you are, who do you identify with? It's impossible for you to identify as something that's not in the Bible. You can say you do, but that doesn't exist. You can't identify with something that doesn't exist. I'm sorry. But I want to tell you right now, peace of mind belongs to you. Amen. I'm not telling you, because you can receive healing, you can receive that too. I mean, you can be tormented in your mind by the devil just like you can be tormented in your body. So we're not saying there's something wrong with you, but I'm saying from the position as far as God's concerned and as far as His Word's concerned, peace, the chastisement of your peace was upon Jesus, and you can live with peace of mind. Amen. Now, you don't ridicule somebody who's sick in their body. You don't ridicule somebody that's struggling in their mind. There's a word called compassion that would really help. Brother Hagin, go out there and get his one teaching CD on secrets to success in ministry. And one of the things he mentioned is compassion. If you want to have a successful ministry, you've got to have compassion. You've got to have compassion for people. So no matter what situation you find them in that isn't heaven, you minister it to them. Amen? Amen. But if I'm that person going through this, I've got to say, wait a minute. Peace of mind belongs to me. Torment is not of God. That's of the devil. I've got peace in my mind. Now, how do you get things in and out of your life? By speaking it. Speaking it. You've got to speak peace in your life. You've got to speak. You've got to tell oppression. You've got to tell depression to go. No, you don't. No, you don't. And you know, depression, it tries to come against everybody. Don't get the idea that you're the only one that's ever got depressed. Amen? And sometimes because we've just been taught, well, you just got to put up with it. No, you don't have to put up with depression anymore. You do sickness and disease. But sometimes folks have lived with it so long. Amen. I wish you could just cast it out. You can't cast it out unless there's a spirit involved in it. We know it. I know it ultimately comes from the devil. But that's why we got to renew our mind. Who are we together with? Am I gonna be identify and be together with Christ, or am I gonna identify and be together with whatever else it is right now? Amen. You know, some people, now some of you don't even know, because I don't think, the new Superman, he doesn't go in a phone booth, does he? I mean, these new super, does he even peel? I mean, I don't know. Our Superman, you know. I'm talking about the one that was in black and white. That's Superman. You know. He had to go in a phone booth and take his... I mean, who changes clothes in a phone booth? I don't know about that. But you, first of all, phone booth. Some of you are like, phone booth? I'm sorry. It was a standing that had a payphone. Yeah, I'm sorry. But anyway, you know, what superhero suit are you wearing underneath your false exterior? You know, some folks, they got a big V on there. And it doesn't stand for victory. It stands for victim. And that's what that's what they identify with. I've been victimized. But in Christ, I've been put to death. I've been made alive. I've been raised up. And now I'm seated at the right hand of God. And there's no victims at the right hand of God. Amen? I'm the victor. See, just change a few letters. Don't be the victim, be the victor. Right? Because what happens is the devil wants you to live your life through what you... He wants to try to get you to identify with what's wrong. Because whatever you identify will either what? Free you or bind you. But we're together with him. And so if Jesus doesn't have it now, we don't have to have it now. Because we're together with him. When... Is he raised up? Is he raised up? Yeah. Is he seated at the right hand of God? Yeah. And we are too. Amen. Someone said that, I think it was William McDowell. I love his music. His music is just revival music. And they've been having a lot of great miracles. And his album, I really suggest you get his album, The Cry. He said this, that all a miracle was in the ministry of Jesus was Jesus seeing something that wasn't from heaven and making it conform to heaven. Bible, what did Jesus tell us to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness and disease in heaven. Amen. If you're here this morning, you heard Zach talk about a little girl that she was healed, her hearing. There's no deafness in heaven. And the child of God doesn't have to have deafness here. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? No, there's no condemnation. We're not talking about, if you're sick, well, what's wrong with you? No, not at all. Amen? I want to encourage you tonight. Understand and identify with this. If I'm together with him, it's impossible for it to be true about him and not about me. Because he came and identified and took everything that was true about me and took it on my behalf, bore the price for it, so that now I could identify with him and say everything that's true about him is true about me. Because he took everything that was true about me and made it true about him and paid the price. Amen? We're bought with a price. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to do two things here. First of all, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you don't know, nobody looking around. Nobody looking around at all. I don't even want the ushers to look around because I want everybody to be free here. I just want you, if you've been dealing with mental issues, depression, lack of peace in your mind, you've been anxiety, haven't been able to go to sleep at night, you've been having all these things. I want you to raise your hand right now. Nobody else is looking around. Okay, all over the building. All over the building. That's why the Lord wanted me to do this. Let me pray for you. But I want to encourage you. Get into this, what we talked about tonight. Find out who you are. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's all lift our hands right now. So everybody, Father, we lift our hands to you. We lift our hearts to you with our hands. Father, you saw these that did raise their hand that are dealing with anxiety. They're dealing with depression. They're dealing with a lack of peace in their mind. And that's not what Jesus came to give us. So the devil's trying to steal that which belongs to them, Father. First of all, Father, I want right now, Father, let your mighty presence, your mighty power confirm your love for them. Just right now, Father God, I ask that your power go upon them right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God loves you. God cares for you. He's your Father, but he also wants to be your friend in the time of need. You're welcome in his presence. You're welcome at his throne. Come and find the grace you need and the mercy that you need in that time of need. Come to him. Don't run from God. Thank you, Father, for your love being poured out right now in a freshness, Lord God, by the Spirit that's within them, but just a renewal that they might know, they might know, they might know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Everyone say this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that tonight I agree with and I declare my identification with Christ. I am together in life with Christ. I'm together in resurrection with Christ. I'm together in being seated at your right hand in Christ. And I'm together in peace of mind, health in my body. In Jesus' name, you and I together. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I think there were some things done right there. Some things were done. I know this, God's word never returns void. Never returns void. Returns void, but it accomplishes that which it's sent out to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah.